when I was diagnosed with cancer, you know, the fear of cancer was quite strong in me. Plus, I could see the fear of everyone else around me, of the fact that I was going to vanish quickly from the face of the earth. So going back to that analogy of having the right passport, knowing who you are, I had to become something bigger.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And oh my goodness, I'm trying to think here. We're into the 160 numbers of episodes, which is awesome. I can't believe it. So much that I have learned, and I hope you have learned over this time. Oh, before I forget, be sure and go to LifeInterruptedRadio.com and sign up for Transcribe Tribe. As you know, if you've been a listener to the show for a while, we just started it a few months ago, so we've been busily trying to get all of the episodes up there. Most of them are there, especially the current ones. And if you don't find one, just hit the contact button there on the website. Let us know, and we'll get that one lickety split for you as well. It's kind of a big undertaking with my team and myself to get that done. We're working feverishly on it, so that's really exciting. That's a new change. What new changes are happening for you? Here it is. My goodness, the first month of the year is memory, and it's so hard for me to believe. I don't know where that month went. Oh my gosh, I've got my chai tea here with you, and I've got some beautiful homemade almond milk in it, so I'm enjoying that. And I've got some fun plans for the weekend too. So curl up and enjoy tonight. We've got a really fascinating topic and a return guest on. She's a dear, dear friend of mine. And we were chatting and I convinced her to come back on the show because she has an interesting take on something. And one of the things that we've been talking about, I'd say for at least the last 2 years when I was first introduced to Dr. David Clark, was what part does trauma, emotions, feelings, all those sorts of things play into our healing, or actually even play into the causation of physical ailments. And that's a whole new area that's being explored. There's plenty of different amazing teachers and people, scientists exploring this, and it just has me fascinated. So every so often we've been exploring this idea of past traumas and how that might manifest into a physical ailment or exacerbate a physical ailment. And as I've explored my own traumas and worked through them through forgiveness trainings and things like that, forgiveness patterns, it's always fascinating to me how there's a relief. And one of the things was these old sayings of like, oh, that person stabbed me in the back, or that person is a pain in the rear, or that situation is a pain in the neck. And sometimes it's always interesting when people go, well, you know what? My neck was really bothering me when I was thinking about that. So I find that this whole idea of mind-body connection so fascinating. So let me bring on my dear friend, Annie Poole. And we'll share what we're going to talk about in just a minute. Let me share a little bit about Annie. She was diagnosed with incurable endometrial cancer in the fall of 2013. And most people would choose to see that disease as a physical problem, but she knew instinctively that it was an emotional one. Now, granted, it was showing up as a physical problem. We don't want to minimize that. There was endometrial cancer there. But she knew intuitively, instinctively, that there might be another way to look at it. And she was tormented by the story of sexual abuse that took place in her early 20s, but she hardly ever spoke about it. And I think many of us can relate to that, both male and female, of even if it wasn't sexual abuse, some other abuse, bullying, whatever, how hard it is to speak about it. There's so many things that go on that we've been seeing in the news lately. So many people coming up and saying, I just couldn't talk about it until now. But after Annie's recovery, she confronted her abuser nearly 30 years later in a face-to-face meeting. Talk about courage. And when she discovered that she confronted was shocking, she came to realize her abuser had been equally tormented by this story. In fact, he too was diagnosed with cancer. So today, Annie has taken this tremendous learning that she found through her journey of healing from endometrial cancer. And now she coaches professionals, men and women, on how to break free from the mire of crippling self-doubt so they too can become extraordinary. And I'll say courageous too. So welcome, Annie. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Sharon. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm always thrilled to have you on, dear. We just get together. We just chat. And as anybody familiar with the show, Annie and I will probably go down rabbit holes, but that's where the most fun comes from.
Yeah.
One of the things, Annie, tell us a little bit, though, about the story of the diagnosis of the cancer, and then we'll get into what you instinctively knew was going on. So let's just tell us a little bit, because wow, when you told me back in 2013 about the diagnosis, we were all shocked, but how it came about was equally shocking. So just share a little bit of your story of getting a diagnosis of incurable cancer.
Actually, that was when I was recovering from surgery in the recovery room. So I was just coming to and still under the anesthetic. And as I was opening up my eyes for the first time, I saw my surgeon standing next to the bedside. And immediately, because I guess I was in denial and I just had so much hope that I would get through this, especially after undergoing surgery, I figured that was the finishing touch on this cancer journey and I would be free and clear. So that was my thought. When I saw her standing next to my bedside and she then started to speak and I was just literally hanging on every word that she said. And she started off by saying, your surgery was successful and I removed the cancerous tumor in your abdomen. Mm-hmm. And then she started to say, but your cancer has spread to the lymph and the upper aorta. And then she said words that, you know, made my heart sink. And she said, and it's incurable. And she just looked at me for a long time. We just kind of locked eyes on each other. And I was just incredulous, first of all, that she would deliver that diagnosis to me as I was in that state of recovery just after mm-hmm. surgery. And then I guess I just didn't believe it myself. So I asked her to repeat it. And then she said one more time, yes, it's incurable. And then with that, she walked out of the recovery room and I was left with that summary of what she thought my life was going to look like.
I love that you put it that way, what she thought my life was going to look like. I have found that so many of the thrivers that I talk to on the show have something similar, not as this a big red label across the forehead, incurable, in some respects, like a death sentence you were given. But so many people with autoimmune disease are told to get real. It's incurable. Your mm-hmm. life is over as you know it.
Yeah.
We've seen here on the show that that's not the case, that there are many times and many ways that things can happen that change the trajectory. If you listen to the show before, go back and check out Annie's last time on the show where she talked about her book, Passport to Life. And that's all about this amazing journey she took to actually cure herself from the endometrial cancer. Because here we are talking. And Annie, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Sharon. Never been better.
That's awesome. But Annie shared with me this story about how she came to this realization of this emotional part of her physical ailments. And with all the talk in the news today, I said, Annie, would you be willing to share it? And she's here today to talk about what it is like to go through this emotional journey of healing too. And not just the emotional journey of healing from being labeled incurable and having someone deliver you this very news in such a way that, oh my gosh, the unconscious brain can immediately suck that up and say, well, okay, that's it, all done. But Annie didn't. She was able to take that and transform her life. So let's pick up this story, Annie, when you had that instinct, or I'll call it the intuition, mm-hmm. that there was more to the story than just the endometrial cancer.
Yeah, instinctively, Sharon, I just knew that my brain just went immediately to that event that I had suppressed for so many years. Wow. And because of where the cancer was situated in my body, which is, you know, endometrial, similar to cervical and ovarian cancer, you know, so it's attached to who I am as a woman, to my reproductive organs. And I just drew the conclusion that that's what I had to fix. You know, I would heal myself from incurable cancer, but the first thing I would do is begin to unravel the threads and go back and really work on healing that part of my life.
Wow. See, it's so courageously shocking and powerful to me, this idea of unraveling the threads. Now, as you began to unravel, was it always just going down this one thread, or did you find what I like to call sort of the pile of yarn of multiple threads where it was like, how do I know?
That's a good question. Because it did become this big pile of yarn. I think I was like a bull in a china shop.
Anybody that knows Annie can see that very well.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I went in thinking, I don't know what I was thinking really. Because after you suppress something for so many years, by that time it was like 30 years, I don't know why I figured I could get this done in a short order, but that was my mindset. I think I was just so intent on healing and so intent on living that I didn't realize how I would need assistance to go on that path, and the right kind of assistance to really help me unravel the thread. So I just kind of valiantly got on my white horse with my coat of armor, went, you know, full force, guns blazing, and then made a big freaking mess out of it. The good news is I was eventually able to unravel all of that. The big freaking mess. Sorry for the word.
Sometimes they are.
It's appropriate in this case. The big mess was right after I confronted an abuser. And then my mind just went to a crazy place. So that's where my book starts, because I literally lost my mind. I couldn't sort out fact from fiction anymore of my past.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it really was interesting. So it gave me a picture of the depth of my mind, first of all, that I could descend to such depths. And then the opposite could be true. You know, what heights could I ascend to if I could allow myself to get there, first of all?
Let me jump in here for a second, because one thing I've heard on the show before is this concept of, they said, well, I had this inkling of a past trauma or something, but then I would talk myself out of it because what I was remembering, I worried that it was a false memory or a bad B movie I'd seen somewhere, and I was remembering the movie and not my life, not what happened to me. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about, where it was very difficult to get clarity because it had been so many years and it was such a traumatic event?
There was an aspect of that for sure. It's interesting what your mind does when you repress something for so many years, and that story, you build all these relating stories around that one central story. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Because what comes for me was, for years I thought I was claustrophobic, mm-hmm. really. And I would have claustrophobic I was able to control them by breathing and things. But even getting an elevator, I would be like, okay, this isn't the most comfortable place I want to be. And that was for years. And then I began to do some intensive exploration, not so much around the claustrophobia, but just it was one of those times in life. And up came repressed memories of actually being pinned to a wall by a bully. And I'm thinking, and then I had this moment of realization, that's where the claustrophobia started, this idea of not being able to get out, not being able to move. And that's what's always fascinated me, is how the mind can change these things, make them more, I'll say, palatable in my case.
Yeah.
Claustrophobia was better than being bullied in my mind at the time. And I find that so fascinating.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I could say pretty much the same, that I, over the years, started to write these subscripts around the central script, you know? Mm-hmm. And that script is one that I'm sure every woman who has gone through some kind of sexual trauma knows, because it's one that we, I don't know the word, but circulate around. And that is the idea that if a woman has been abused in any way, that she is somehow damaged goods. And do you know what I mean?
A very common story that I've heard, and I think we're all beginning to hear as more and more of the Me Too comes out into light and more people, because this is not just a woman's story. This can happen to anyone. Come out with that kind of coming up with, like, well, I didn't know who would listen to me, or I tried to talk about it, and all of sorts of things. And plus the sub-stories, as you brought out, that's really fascinating. What are some steps, as you said, you got to this really, really dark place. As you began to be at that dark place, I know there's always a point where, my dear friend Dawn always says, there's always a point where we stop digging, and there's that moment of where we're able to turn towards the light. What was that moment for you? What was that time when you were able to say, maybe I need to take a different path?
Mm-hmm. That was probably when I was in the psych ward. Because going back to that story, I called the bomb squad, and the irony is the 911 showed up. You know, the people that drive you away to the psych ward. So I thought I was going to save the world from this person that I was deathly afraid of. And in the end, the world needed saving from me, you know, in the sense that in that moment, I became the scary one, so much so that the paramedics drove me off in the ambulance and put me in this green room, and they wouldn't let me go until I could reassure them that I would not harm anybody.
Including yourself, I'm sure.
Including myself, yeah. So the saving grace was, a friend of mine was with me in that moment, and she stayed with me the whole time. And honestly, had it not been for her, I don't know where I would have been, because it was extremely frightening to, A, first of all, lose it so completely, and B, not be able to make sense of reality, and then just feel so threatened by other people because they were so threatened by me. You know, just the quick turnaround of events where I thought I was on top of things, and clearly I wasn't. So that was a turning point for me, albeit it still took me a while to reach out and get the help that I needed, because I was still trying to piece through reality, but coming to a place where I just had to quiet down those voices, quiet down the questions, and just let go of, I don't know what parts of my past were true and what weren't true. And at this point, it doesn't matter, because the past is in the past, and I'm not carrying around that garbage anymore into my future or into my daily existence.
Awesome. And we need to take a quick commercial break. So sorry about this, guys. It's such a compelling story, and Annie's so courageous to be sharing it with us. But we need to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we're talking with the very courageous Annie Poole, author of Passport to Life. And she was diagnosed in 2013 with an endometrial cancer, which they labeled her as incurable. She solved that problem. And during that time, she found that there was some things in her past that perhaps were contributing to the cancer. We'll never say that, you know, like they're causing the cancer, but she really felt that these emotional issues were contributing to the cancer. And when we had to take that break, Annie had just, you had just come to this turning point of where there was this moment of coming back. What are some things that you can remember that were very instrumental in helping you through that time?
Well, I eventually reached out to someone in my network, and I met him at an event at a, you know, vegan type of coffee shop. And he spoke directly, you know, as he was speaking from the front of the room and sharing about this method that he does, he spoke directly, I felt, as if to me, because I knew what he was talking about when he mentioned, you know, the correlation between physical symptoms showing up as a result of emotional trauma and just how he helps clear people of those emotional traumas. So I ended up working with him for a period of 4 months. The insight that I got from that was just incredible, because he was able to help me work through a process in which I could not just come to a place of forgiveness, which is important, but to come to a place of complete and utter and sheer gratitude, which to me is astounding. It's still blows my mind when I think about it, because, you know, in my mind, some episodes from my past were pretty big, but just to see how the benefits of that were far outweighed the trauma is really an earth-shattering kind of insight.
Absolutely. And this idea, I've heard it before on the show, where people come to that moment and the teacher arrives is always such a powerful event.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we're at our lowest is when the teacher that we're needing shows up, and sometimes the strangest places. You said, like in a vegan coffee shop.
Yeah. And really, it wasn't totally when I was at my lowest, but I was at a point in writing this book in which I needed to bring out the story more fully. And that's when he showed up, and his name is Dr. Nima Rimini. And so he really was instrumental in fleshing out that story and allowing my heart to really be free to express it from a place of deep gratitude.
Now, I have a question, because I've thought about this idea of deep gratitude. And does that differ from when people tell me there was a silver lining or a gift in something that happened? Is that all the same, or how can you explain this deep gratitude?
Well, I think a silver lining is maybe an optimist point of view. I mean,
okay.
Maybe that's the distinction we need to make.
Okay.
And then deep gratitude is just being able to see, taking the time to pull out the learnings, the benefits that sprung up from a trauma.
Now, I know you share some of these concepts of this deep gratitude. If someone's going, well, tell me a little bit more, what really is deep gratitude versus just, I'll just say, gratitude? I'm trying to get to the core of the moment of transformation of deep gratitude. That's such a powerful word. I'm just sitting there going, wow, that must have just felt amazing.
Well, I can use the example of going back to the initial diagnosis in the recovery room, you know, that oncologist that by all appearances and other people's accounts, it seemed like a very cold-hearted thing to do. But when I could see the benefit of what she gave me, then I could be at a place of that deep gratitude. She really gave me a gift in that moment. And the gift was, she lit a fire underneath my ass.
Yeah.
That was so strong. I needed that. I absolutely needed that. Because, you know, if she would have come in and held my hand and said, you know, I really don't know how to tell you this, but you're probably not going to make it, I don't think it would have given me that jolt of, I'll show you.
Absolutely. That's one thing Annie and I bonded on when we first met, was what they call polarity responders. We're both people that will definitely dig in our heels and say, I'll show you.
That's me.
And I proudly wear that banner too. I think I can think of so many times in my world where someone has said something to me and I'll say, I'll show you. And it's always turned out quite well, sometimes in different directions than I expected it, right? Because I know...
Yeah.
I think if we'd talked to you a few years ago, you wouldn't be coaching people now breaking free from self-doubt and teaching them how to live extraordinary lives. Let's jump forward now into this whole idea of what are some of the things that give people tips on being able to really light a fire under themselves and take charge.
Yeah, well, I take the lessons I've learned from my travels, actually, and apply it to the fear and the self-doubt that so many people have, and I am one of them. You know, it's interesting how you end up coaching, helping people through the very crisis moments that you've had, you know, biggest struggles you've had. So I liken the journey that I take people on to a travel experience. And so if you're wrestling with fear and self-doubt in your life, whether you're, you know, an entrepreneur or wanting to leave corporate world or whatever the challenge in your life is, to me, it's like you're showing up at the airport and you're going up to the ticketing agent and you're saying to her, I'd like to go somewhere. And she says to you, well, excuse me, where exactly do you want to go to? Because you need a very specific destination. And then you say, well, I don't know, I think Italy. She says, well, that's still not good enough because you could fly into Rome, you can fly into Venice, Milan, you know, which one is it? And you still don't know because your fear and self-doubt are so strong. And then she looks behind you and you've got all these tattered suitcases. And she says, I'm sorry, but you're just not going to get on the plane with all that crap. You're going to have to lighten the load. And then finally she asks for your passport and it's not the right document. So if I were to break it down, then the passport is knowing who you are in this journey that you're going on and the challenges that you face in it. The second thing is you must travel light. You got to get rid of all those bags that you're trying to take on the plane with you, because that's not going to serve you where you need to go. And the last thing is, when you know the first two and you can clear up all that emotional stuff, then you begin to see your destination very clearly. Then you can go up to the ticketing agent and say specifically, I'm going to Milan and I'm flying there next week, or, you know, tomorrow, let's say.
That's awesome. We need to take another quick commercial break, guys. I was so mesmerized by Annie's story, even though I've heard it before, that blew past one of our commercial breaks. So I need to take another quick one here. We'll be right back. Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach, and my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose. To link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Annie Poole, and she's been sharing this remarkable story of her diagnosis of incurable endometrial cancer to just an extraordinary life and how she did that. And one of the things she shared with us is what I always call polarity responder, the I'll show you. And as we had to take that quick commercial break, we were headed to Milan. So I can't wait to find out. So once we've got clear on who we are, which is no small feat, right, Annie? I mean, that's something that sometimes can take some time. And I always like to say for myself, I'm always discovering new avenues, new layers, new extraordinary colors of who I am. Mm-hmm. And so I want to make sure that people understand it's not like a permanent destination, right?
That's right.
I am.
That's right. every new venture in life requires you to rise up to the challenge and become, like, step into who you are becoming in that challenge. So every challenge in life then causes us or calls us to rise up to something bigger than who we think we really are.
I want to just throw something in. It's oftentimes I'm not sure it's that conscious of a thought, Annie. I was thinking about myself when I got the diagnosis and told, this is your life from now on, sort of like, get real. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that. It was a immediate death sentence, but definitely incurable, and it's not, never going to change. Get used to it. It's only going to get worse and worse, mm-hmm. which is, you know, that's a bummer.
That's a downer.
Because a lot of times people say, and I know they've said to you too, things like, wow, you're so brave. But in my case, I didn't see any other alternative. I'm mm-hmm. not sure. Because I can't say it was a real conscious thought on my part. It was just like, what are you talking about? The other only other thing is for me is to give up and wither away, you know. And mm-hmm. I didn't see that as a viable alternative. Have you found that out with some of the people you coach too? They're like, well, not sure. At first it was a real conscious thought. It was just the only way I saw.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I guess I can only answer for myself, because when I was diagnosed with cancer, you know, the fear of cancer was quite strong in me. Plus I could see the fear of everyone else around me, yeah. of the fact that I was going to vanish quickly from the face of the earth. So going back to that analogy of having the right passport, knowing who you are, I had to become something bigger so that I could overcome that fear, not just in myself, but in the people around me. And that's why I began to tap into who was my hero, whose energy, who can I take on, so to speak, or kind of step into their shoes. And keep reminding myself, if they were able to do big things like that, then I can too.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. That's one thing I coach when I do my public speaking communications coach, is interestingly enough, is think of someone that you admire. And in the case of public speaking, which is fascinating for myself, because anybody who knows me well knows I'm shy and introverted, really, so how can I be doing 160 episodes of the Autoimmune Hour plus all the public speaking? I have a marvelous friend who's a big, big extrovert. And I step into the behaviors of that big, big extrovert.
Wow.
And it just becomes, it flows. It flows because I admire this person so much and admire their skills that I just step into their shoes as if I was, you know, doing the same behaviors that they're doing, and it flows. I find that so fascinating, that this is not just about healing from an illness or an emotional crisis or anything like that. You could take this same concept and use it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's so powerful, Sharon, because when I see you present, you are so incredibly strong and powerful. And I would never guess that you had introvert, you know, like introverted tendencies. That's just such a shock.
Oh, I do. The idea of being alone and gathering my energy from being alone, absolutely big time. As well, yeah. As I'm very shy. I'm one of those people that like to sit in the back of the room and just observe. So it's,
yeah.
But I love that we could take the same concepts, and I found that through many, many of the shows that I've done, that a lot of the people that come and start giving tips and techniques, it's not just about healing. So keeping our eyes open and saying, that worked over in that area mm-hmm. of my life or my friend's life. I wonder if that would work in a physical manifestation mm-hmm. of healing. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I gave this technique to someone I never ended up coaching with, but she had all kinds of trauma in her past. She was homeless for a while, and she was undergoing cancer and multiple surgeries. And so I gave her this technique, and about a week later, she circled back with me and just said, I had the most incredible experience because I was dreaming, or actually I had a nightmare, like I always do at night. And it was an apocryphal nightmare, you know, bombs falling, people dying everywhere. She seemed to have these repeatedly. And then she noticed in her dream that she was actually saying to everybody, "Don't worry, I'm here to save you. I'm a hero, just like my dad." And she was so astounded by that recognition of that, that she immediately woke up and began to write in a journal, the first entry of a journal that she's, you know, started to keep ever since that moment. So it really is a powerful technique.
It is. It is. And I'm glad you brought up the idea of journaling too, because I also think journaling is a huge, powerful technique in our lives in general, but definitely in healing. As I always thought I would remember each little instance with each specialist and each little recommendation and each little, you know, test or what have you. And I'm sorry, it became a blur. It absolutely became a blur. So I was so happy. And now in my case with the medical condition, I kept a notebook because a lot of the things came, you know, like a printout or what have you. And I just filed it in a notebook versus, and sometimes I'd write what was going on for me at the time as if it was a journal too, but I kept it in a 3-ring binder versus what a lot of people think of as an actual journal or diary. And I found that so helpful, especially now when I'm thinking back, someone says, "Well, did you ever explore this or, you know, or that or whatever?" I'm like, "Oh gosh, sounds familiar." That's not very helpful, right?
Yeah. No, it's not.
So how are some ways that you've found that, I know you did a lot of journaling when you wrote your book. A lot of that came from some of your different trips that you took. You're an avid traveler before all this happened. What are some, we've only got a few minutes left and we've got to get in another quick commercial break because I'm hearing the music again.
Okay.
When we come back, Annie, we're going to talk about some of your travels and some of the tips you learned from traveling as well.
Okay.
We hear from her metaphors that she's an avid traveler. So we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we're here with Annie Poole, author of the book Passport to Life. And we've been sharing just all sorts of fascinating, interesting ways to look at what's going on with us physically, emotionally. I think Annie and I could just say we've gone down multiple rabbit holes today, but I'm loving the journey we're on. It's just fascinating where things take us tangentially. And in just the last few minutes, I want you to share some of the things from Passport to Life, because I know you are and were before the diagnosis an avid traveler, and share with us some of the things that you learned by being such an avid traveler that it helped you on your healing journey and this experience.
Yeah, I think the biggest one was what I noticed from my travels was that I could become a blank page when I was like 6,000 miles away from all the people that I knew in Canada. Somehow that gave me great freedom and peace of mind to just become or do anything that I never thought of doing before. And I don't mean that in the sense that I was going to break all the rules or do anything criminal. Nothing.
Well, I guess you mean you could dye your hair green and
yeah, exactly. So it just gave me great freedom to try on different parts of myself and see if is that fitting. You know, do I like that part of me? Because essentially, I could choose when I came back to Canada if I remained friends with the people that I'd met on my travels. So, you know, it was like just a dress rehearsal, and I don't know if that makes sense, but
I love this idea of dress rehearsal. I think I'm a big fan of dress rehearsals.
Yeah, me too. Going into Nordstrom's and just trying on every dress in the designer section, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or any other sort of dress rehearsal, even to the point of sometimes when I'm doing a big, big speech, my dress rehearsals are just me and my video camera, but it's awesome. Mm-hmm. There's so many things you learn about yourself. It's fascinating when we just have that freedom to explore.
Yeah. So that's the concept then that I applied to my cancer journey. I decided to become a blank page. And what do I want to write on it? I wanted to write a whole new story about my life. Like these things were going to be done and over with. You know, the trauma or this trauma that kept cropping in and affecting my day-to-day experience, the feeling of dis-ease in my body. You know, I was going to write a completely a brand new story about my life.
Awesome. If someone has really resonated with your story right now, what are a couple final tips that you could give them that could get them started on their journey, I'll say writing their brand new story?
Get out a blank sheet of paper and a pen and just put on some Andrea Bocelli, let's say.
Oh, I love him.
Me too. He's the best. And just start to reflect on, what is it that I would love to do, love to be, and love to have in 2018 and for the rest of my life?
I want to add a little thing to that, is that I've never given myself permission to do.
Yeah.
I think that's, to me, when you're saying that, oh my gosh, I was thinking, oh, but we have to just say magic wand time.
Yeah, because, you know, even the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. It doesn't say, make sure it's not a dumb request, right?
Yeah, don't keep it in a tiny little box. Don't make sure it's not stupid.
Yeah.
And whose voice is that, right? So many times when people say that to me, I go, is that your voice? Or whose voice is saying, don't ask something stupid?
Yeah, nothing's too big. Nothing's too outrageous. That's what I've learned in this whole process, is to ask, and you absolutely can receive.
Absolutely. And sometimes I've found it comes out more awesome than what I asked for.
Exactly.
I think that's the fascinating thing to me, is like, oh, I never even thought of that, but okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
That happens to me so many times when I'll be putting out my request, shall I say. So being open to having what it is you ask for, but also being open that if it, you know, if it comes purple with green sparkles on it, that's okay too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then it all comes down to, you know, the passport, what I call the passport to life. You need a passport. You got to travel light and you got to know your destination.
Oh, awesome. So Annie, we just have about 2.5 minutes left. Can you share with everybody how to get a hold of you, how to find your book, and just any last little parting thoughts you'd like to share? I think you have a wonderful free gift for us too, don't you?
I do. It's a mind movie that I made, actually created with Natalie Ledwell's platform, mindmovies.com. And it's a mind movie specifically for women who are on a cancer journey, who want to use this as a tool for healing. So that's available on my website, which is www.annie.pool.com. And you'll also find my book there as well, Passport to Life, How I Overcame Incurable Cancer Through the Power of Travel.
Oh, awesome. I love that. Now, we just have a minute left. If you'd be so kind, on the first show we did, you shared this wonderful little story of your leopard skin pants. Can you share that? Because I think that's just so awesome with people just allowing yourself to go for it, to give it a try.
Okay, I'd be happy to share that story with you. Actually, it wasn't a pair of leopard skin pants. It was a pair of midnight blue sequined cigarette lead pants. Like they were,
oh, okay.
They were skin tight.
Oh, I remember the skin tight. I'm not sure where I got the leopard skin, but okay. So it's blue.
Yeah.
Oh, just fantastic blue. Okay.
So I was looking for something like Dorothy's sparkly red shoes. You know, going back to the hero concept, every hero needs a hero's shoes, pair of shoes or a pair of pants. So that was my thing. So I wore these sparkly pants, you know, albeit with low heeled boots, but I wore them to the grocery store, let's say on my cancer journey. And it just gave me such a kick in the pants in a good way, because people would come up to me and they would say, oh my goodness, you just look incredible. And then I would just get such a little chuckle because I'd say, well, you know, I had chemo yesterday. And their mouths would drop to the floor and nobody could believe that I just had chemo. So that in itself just made me feel like $1 million. And it was like Dorothy's red shoes and also a picture of the fact that my life would be glamorous and filled with travel.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So I guess find your cape out there. Hers was sparkly blue pants. find your cape, find your red shoes for sure. So Annie, this has just been awesome. Thank you for your courage to share your story with us. It's a remarkable story, overcoming and thriving, being part of our, as we always say here on the Autumn, you know, we're not survivors, we're thrivers. And you are just an outstanding thriver. So thank you so much.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. So thank you,
everyone. And as always, have a great week, whatever your adventures, and enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.